Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Text for our meditation this morning comes from our epistle lesson, 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is our text. Well, if you listen to that whole epistle lesson, you had a very interesting picture that Paul described of himself for us. He says he's glad about his weaknesses. He's glad that he was mistreated, suffered hardships, and he was persecuted and hard-pressed. And then to top off the whole list, he says, "I have a thorn in my flesh." And he felt so badly about that thorn in the flesh that he determined that it was a messenger of Satan that was given to him to plague him. Paul tells us in our epistle lesson that he begged God three times to remove that thorn from his flesh. But God responded to Paul by reminding him, "My grace is sufficient for you." You ever wonder what that thorn in the flesh was for Paul? Nowhere does it ever even hint at what it might have been. And I don't think it's really important for us to know what exactly that thorn in the flesh was. What we need to know is what it did to Paul. He believed that because of that thorn in the flesh, he was hindered in doing the work of an apostle. He felt that that thorn in the flesh kept him from being the kind of apostle he felt he could become. He believed that he just couldn't do all the things he wanted to do as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Thorn in the flesh. Have you ever had a thorn in your flesh? Maybe think of it this way for a moment. You have something in your eye. Now, in the grand scheme of things, a speck in your eye is not really all that serious of an issue. But when you have that speck in your eye, you can't drive, you can't work, you can't read, you can't watch TV, you can't carry on even with the simplest activities of life. Your entire focus becomes on whatever that is that is in your eye. And don't talk to me about anything else. I've got this speck in my eye and it's driving me crazy. I can't concentrate. I can't do what I want to do, because I have something in my eye. Well, maybe it's good Paul didn't mention to us what his thorn in the flesh was. We could put our own thorn in the flesh into the story and get a little idea of how Paul was feeling about this whole situation. The point is, when there's a thorn in your flesh, whatever it may be, it's going to disrupt your life. Going to change your focus about things. All you can think about is that thorn. It's discomfort. It's pain. It becomes an obsession. It becomes something so big in your life that everything else sinks into the background. As we said, we don't know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, but it was enough that Paul thought it was a thorn, and whatever it was, bothered him. It hindered him. It stopped him in his ministry. And it moved him to beg God 3 times for help and relief. Now, Paul was not one to turn and beg God for help in any situation. He was a man who had faced just about everything and anything the world could throw at him as long as he was out doing the work of the gospel. You heard some of the lists of the things that he suffered in our epistle lesson because of the gospel and because of his ministry to that gospel. Well, that's not the whole list of the things that Paul went through in his life because of the gospel. We heard in chapter 12 that long list of things that hindered him. And if that isn't bad enough, go back to chapter 11 and listen to that list. Paul says, in addition to everything I just told you about, I was also imprisoned. I was beaten. I faced death. 5 times I received 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with sticks. I was shipwrecked and adrift at sea for over 24 hours. I was stoned. I was in danger from floods and from robbers, from Gentiles, and even from my own people. I was in danger when I was in the city, in the wilderness, and on the sea. I suffered false friends. Often I was sleepless, hungry, starving, cold, and naked. Every day was a burden that I had to bear. No, Paul was not one to beg God for help. But this thorn in the flesh, whatever it was, moved him to beg God 3 times for relief. He knew God would hear his cry. He knew God would answer his plea because he knew how much God loved him and cared about him. Paul would say, the only proof I need of that is I have to look at the cross, and there I can remember the depth of God's love for me. Paul, the sinner, the chief of sinners. For me, he sent his son to die on that cross so that I could be forgiven and become his child for eternity. Now, it's important to note what Paul begged God for. He did what we all do. He asked God to make a change in his life so that his life would be better. And that's not necessarily anything wrong to ask for. David did it. Throughout the Psalms, you hear David crying out to God to make a change in his life, to save him from his enemies, and to deliver him from dangers and fears. Even Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed in the garden, prayed to God, remove this cup from me. So there's nothing wrong in asking God to make a change in your life, to make things better or easier. It's okay for us to pray, Lord, you have the power, and you can do all things, and you can change the way things are in my life for the better. And that's what Paul was asking, that's what Paul was begging God to do for him, to remove the thorn and to make his life better. But in Paul's case, removing the thorn was not part of God's plan for Paul. That can be difficult to deal with. To accept God's solution rather than the ones we offer up. Jesus understood that in the Garden of Gethsemane He prayed, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but thine be done. You see, God did have a solution for Paul's problem, but it was a solution that Paul hadn't thought of yet. When Paul was driven to that final point, when he was at the end of his endurance and power, after he had begged God three times, God said to Paul, you have power that you have not yet tapped into. God wanted Paul to look deep into his faith, and there he would find that promise of Jesus. I am with you always. The promise that Jesus gave to him that said, I will dwell with you forever. Wherever you go, I will go with you. I will be there. Me and my Father will make our home with you, and we will dwell with you forever. His faith also assured him that God would give him the full power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that would enable him to do great things for the kingdom of God. That's what God wanted Paul to rediscover about his faith, that he had the power that he will ever need to do all that God had already prepared for him to do. God was telling Paul, you have the power from on high. You have that same power in you that I used to create the world. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead. The same power that brought you for a new life in Christ. And you have the vast resources of that power at work in you every day, even if you have a thorn in the flesh. This is what your faith brings to you. By faith, you always have more than enough. You find that image over and over in the New Testament, in the Old Testament too. Our cup runneth over. God always giving us an abundance, an overflowing abundance of every gift of his grace. God wanted Paul to know, and he wants us to know too, that we have all the power and all the grace to take care of every need, even if it's a thorn in the flesh. God was challenging Paul to grow in his faith, to mature in his faith, and to let his trust in God sink even deeper. Throughout history, God has always used the weaknesses of his people to demonstrate his power. Take Moses, for example. He was a slave. He killed an Egyptian. And now he's a fugitive on the run. And he thinks, there's no way I can stand before Pharaoh, the most powerful ruler on earth. Moses says, I don't have the power to do that. I don't have the ability to do that. I don't have the guts to do that. But God had other ideas. And one day Moses finds himself standing before the Pharaoh and demanding of him, let God's people go. He would never have dared to do that on his own. Well, how about the disciples? They're just fishermen. No formal education. No training in the synagogue. No social standing. Yet God gives them the mission to go out into all the world and to proclaim the gospel of salvation. and armed with the power from above, they go and they turn the world upside down. Or how about a man named Martin Luther? He's just a simple monk in a small, out-of-the-way monastery. And he's plagued with doubts and fears and questions. When he is challenged to confront the powers of the church and the state, how am I supposed to do that? Who am I that can stand before those people and answer their questions? Yet God chose him, and he finds himself standing before the leaders of the church and the state and boldly declares to them, "Here I stand. God help me." God seems to take pleasure in saying to the weakest person on the block, "Wait till you see what you and I are going to do together." A thorn in the flesh. Paul would come to know its power. A thorn in the flesh can hinder you, slow you down, and even bring your life to a screeching halt. But we need to remember that God has also filled us with power. And he reminds us today, "My grace is sufficient for you." It was sufficient for Moses, sufficient for David. It was sufficient for the disciples. It was sufficient for Luther. And it is all that you need too. Because my power is made perfect in your weaknesses. And with me, you can do all things through Christ your Lord. We have God's perfect power in us, among us, with us, on our side, directing us, leading us forward to victory after victory. And with his power in us, and with his power enabling us, there is nothing that we cannot accomplish. Amen. We rise.